Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be talking about the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I suppose the big news this week is that Brock Lesnar has indicated that he is finishing up with the WWE. That could be as early as WrestleMania, could be SummerSlam, we're not really sure. But this is he's saying this is his last run. He's going on 46 years old. He's saying he's possibly not interested in renewing his contract. Now, full disclosure, this is what people say when they want to sign a contract for a hell of a lot more money. So do not rule out the possibility that Brock Lesnar is just saying, I don't really have any interest in wrestling anymore, in hopes that someone will throw him an even bigger boatload full of money. And that very, very well could happen. So I'm not taking this as gospel. I'm taking this as this is what Brock Lesnar is currently saying. So take it for what it's worth. But if he is, in fact, of the mindset that this is his final run, this changes things quite a bit. And it makes me wonder if he's really going to put over somebody like an Almost before he goes out. Now, the interesting thing about Brock Lesnar is that reportedly he turned down working with Bray Wyatt. And you would certainly think if he's going to put anyone over, he would put over someone like Bray Wyatt above someone like Almos. Bray Wyatt having a much better chance of having a long-term and wildly successful career than Almos. But that's what they say. They say that that was what led to the decision to have Brock Lesnar lose at the Elimination Chamber due to the DQ, so that it would be Bray Wyatt challenging Bobby Lashley and not Brock Lesnar. He was okay with that. He'd rather fight Almost. I don't know why. I don't know why you'd rather fight Almost. The only thing I can think of offhand is that Brock Lesnar did not feel comfortable in an angle that was clearly going to be weird and supernaturally based a little bit, and he didn't think he wanted to play into that, you know, I'm tentative of this weird guy sort of thing. He didn't want to look at all nervous about fighting somebody as creepy or weird as Bray Wyatt, and you sort of have to do that. If you're going to be the opponent of Bray Wyatt, at some point, Randy Orton did it, everybody else did it, you're going to have to acknowledge he's gotten to me a little bit. The head games, whatever you want to call it, has gotten to me a little bit, starting to creep me out. Maybe Brock Lesnar did not feel comfortable doing that. I'm not sure Bobby Lashley's going to do it with any great success either, but apparently Lesnar didn't want to. Now, if Lesnar really is finishing up with the company, this leaves it open to one of two things. Is he finishing up with the company because he truly says, look, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm a very, very wealthy man. I'm in my mid-40s, and I'm just done. And I'm going to go off onto my ranch and hunt and fish and drink beer and relax. Could be. Or does he feel that he's going to get a gigantic offer from someplace like AEW to come in and do spots here and there? I don't know. Now, Brock Lesnar's been very loyal to Vince McMahon, especially, to the point where you threatened to walk out if Vince McMahon wasn't part of the WWE. So I have a feeling that if Vince McMahon himself makes him a decent offer where he only has to show up a few times a year I doubt he would turn it down. Would you turn it down? If you had to work maybe 3-4 times a year and you're making a boatload of money, would you turn that down? Not many people would. So I'm taking it with a grain of salt. But I think we've seen Brock Lesnar in a very different light now. He's shaking hands with fans. He's laughing and joking. He's using the mic more. He seems to be enjoying himself. And it feels as though maybe he's finally saying, look, if this is my final run, I want to enjoy it. I want to have fun. I want to remember these times. I don't want to be that guy I used to be that just comes out, does his job, leaves, doesn't get to soak it up, because he seems to be soaking it up now. So that is in line with what he's saying, Mike, but once again, you have to take this with a grain of salt, because you know he's going to get a huge offer for very limited dates thrown at him.
Oh, absolutely, and that's the thing. You got to also take into account that his kid is coming up behind him pretty soon. And he may want to try and get his kid into the business, right? So, and who's more likely to sign his kid, AEW or Vince, right?
Yeah.
So if he goes to AEW, then all bets are off. You know, if Tony Khan breaks the bank and says, I'm going to give you, I don't know, $50 million, let's say. Contract worth $50 million, let's say. And he breaks the bank. Now, would Vince match that? Hard to say.
Very tough to say. And also, we don't know. Again, we don't know what's on Brock Lesnar's mind, and we don't know, maybe he just feels like, I don't want to do this anymore. When you have a certain amount of money, and he has a lot of money, Brock Lesnar could live comfortably the rest of his life just showing up once in a while and doing a little autograph signing or a little guest spot here or there or something. Again, he's not necessarily saying he's out of the WWE either. He could come back and do something, whether it's train or scout or do something. He's just saying that this might be his last run as far as in the ring. So we'll have to wait and see. Derek in the chat room saying, well, if Almost beats him, you know, Almost is a big guy. It could launch his career a lot better. Yeah, but you've already ruined Almost because he's already lost to Bobby Lashley. See, if you were going to do that, and I agree with you, if Almost was undefeated and this is his first major, major challenge, where you say, my God, he's taking on Brock Lesnar, and he beat Brock Lesnar, then you would say, well, my God, he's beating Brock Lesnar. If he can beat Brock Lesnar and he's undefeated aside from that, who the hell's going to beat him? Well, we already know who's going to beat him. Bobby Lashley beat him twice. So the shine has come off the rose. The horse has left the barn. It's too late for that. Almost has already been proven he can be beaten. So it's not like a Mr. Perfect thing or a Kane thing. Remember when Kane first came in and nobody could beat him? They were hitting him with lead pipes and he was just getting right back up. And he was squashing people in 30 seconds that were former champions. And the idea was, who the hell's going to beat him? If not The Undertaker, then nobody, because nobody's touching him. Well, that's similar to what Almost was going through. For a while, they were really, I mean, remember when AJ Styles just lost to him in, what, a minute and a half, 2 minutes? And they were really pushing Almost as, this guy is going to be virtually unbeatable. But then they gave up on him, and they fed him to Bobby Lashley, and Bobby Lashley beat him twice. And once that happens, then the shine has come off, and people say, I seen him get beat. And then it's not special anymore. I think it's too late to do that. Yes, that would have worked perfectly if he was unbeaten right now. If Almost had to just tore through all competition, wrestling very sporadically, not every week, just once in a blue moon, then you would have said, well, this is going to be something. This is going to be something to see. Can he get by Brock Lesnar? And if he does, then wrestling fans are left to say, well, who the hell's going to beat him? He's beaten Brock Lesnar. So I think Brock Lesnar losing to him would be a real down cycle in Brock Lesnar's career. And this could be why Brock Lesnar picked Omos. Because they might have told him, well, if you're facing Wyatt, you're not winning. Because we can't have Bray Wyatt lose when he's just been built up like this. So you'd have to drop to Bray. If we give you Omos, then you can win. And Brock Lesnar might have said, well, I'll take Omos. How bad can the match be? It'll be 2 minutes and I'll win and that's it. So maybe that's it. I don't know. But, at this stage of the game, I think it's a little bit too late for Omos to crawl out of the hole, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this whole thing with Omos, when he first came in to the main roster, he was sort of on the main roster when he was doing that underground stuff with the WWE. He was sort of like a big man, like unbeatable, a monster heel and everything. Now he's just like, no, we all can beat him.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the exact problem, is that he's already been beaten. The WWE will miss Brock Lesnar. You can say what you want, but having Brock Lesnar show up even once in a while usually pop that crowd. And if he does go away, and then you're looking at Roman who wants time off. And he says, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing this. Well, that's two biggies. That's two really, really big names. And I'm looking and I'm saying, who takes the place of these two guys? Let's just say, for argument's sake, Roman Reigns says, WrestleMania is going to be my last WrestleMania, and I'm going to retire maybe this summer, or just before WrestleMania, or just after next WrestleMania. And Brock Lesnar says, yeah, SummerSlam's it for me. Well, you got some trouble. If you're the WWE, you've got trouble. Who's your next most popular guy? Sami Zayn's not going to carry that popularity that much longer, so it's not going to be him. Kevin Owens has never reached that. Randy Orton is set to probably come back, but he's not going to stay long. Trust me, with all of his problems, very limited if he does come back. Bray Wyatt has sort of been proven to be hit and miss. He can be popular for a while, and fans grow tired of it. I don't know. AJ Styles is getting up there. He's not going to be around that much longer. Some of your AEW guys that come up have just not proven to catch fire with the crowd like they should have. And I'm looking at AEW saying, who's going to be that next big guy? And I mean, there are people who think it's Bron Breakker. I doubt it. So, yeah, I mean, the WWE needs to really think about this. WWE does this too much. They rely too much on people in their mid-40s or 50s or people who are getting close to the area where they want to take time off or just be part-time wrestlers, and not enough on the people who want to be there full-time. And they haven't built anybody really up to that stage. They just haven't. So that'll be very interesting. Something else we wanted to discuss, Lacey Evans is back in trouble again. Lacey Evans is the enemy of the woke. And she's broken the internet again because she retweeted, she didn't even write this, she retweeted a tweet by, I guess, a psychologist who said 90% of mental health issues could be solved if you just do the following things. Exercise on a regular basis, eat a healthy diet, put your work before pleasure a little bit. Learn to just mind your own business, several other things. And this has caused a firestorm of people saying, how dare you? I have mental health issues and it needs to be medicated in order for me to remain normal. And you can't just say that people can cure it themselves. You're acting like it's not an illness. It is an illness. Ay, 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 ay. She didn't even say it. She retweeted it. But the person who said it clearly said not all. Clearly said not all. If you're bipolar, or you have a chemical imbalance, then quite obviously you're going to need some sort of medication to balance it. What they were saying is people who sit around their house saying, I'm depressed, I'm bored, I'm this, I'm that, if they just took a hold of themselves and did something, would probably their outlook would improve. That's what they were saying. No one denied that certain mental health issues are, in fact, an illness and need to be treated with medication. But no matter what this woman says, there's a good chunk of the crowd and the wrestling universe that just get on her. It doesn't matter. If she said, the sun is shining, it's a beautiful day where I am, someone's going to write and say, well, I don't know where you are because it's terrible where I am, and what are you trying to do, rub in that you're better than me and you have a nicer day than me? And for some reason, they just hate her. They just hate her. And any opinion she has, anything she tends to post, they tend to shit on. Now, the first person to respond to it was the bunny from AEW, who basically said what I said, which is there are people who have actual illnesses involving their mental health and they need medication to correct it. And you're, by retweeting this, you're basically saying no mental health is an actual illness. Not true. Not true. Not at all what that post said, nor what she was saying. It's like saying there are some people who are genetically fat, and no matter what they do, they could eat food for the rest of their life. They're just going to be fat because it's in their genes. But there are people who, if you got outside and you exercised and you ate a healthier diet and you did more and you were more physically active, you wouldn't be fat. And then having some person who is genetically fat say, that's not true. I'm fat and I can't help it. It's in my genes. Yeah, nobody denied that. But they're saying a good percentage of people, a decent percentage of people who are not like you would benefit by doing the following things. That's what she said. And she didn't even say it. She just retweeted what somebody else said. And for that, she's in the stew. I don't understand it. I really don't. Mike, I don't know. Is there anything you can do with Lacey Evans at this point? It seems like she's gotten to this stage where no matter what she does at this point, fans are not going to accept her.
I mean, unless they figure maybe put a mask on her, I don't know. But but I mean, usually that's what happens with these type of things. You give them a different character. Or you put a mask on them, and they forget who they are. People forget who they are, you know. And, you get what I'm saying. I mean, that's the only way I can see it. I mean, maybe if she gets fired from the WWE and leaves and goes someplace else, maybe she even has to maybe get away from America and maybe go to Japan or something, or go to England or something where she's not as toxic, or quote as toxic, you know?
Yeah, at this stage, I don't know if there's anything they can do with her in the WWE, because, like I said, she could literally say, fresh air is good for you, and they'd write, I live in East Palestine, Ohio, and fresh air is not good for me. It's just to the point now where it's comical. I don't know whose Kool-Aid she pissed in. But, man, there's a certain element of the WWE universe who just does not like this woman for some reason. Caller, are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I mean, this wasn't what I was calling about, but I think what you're talking about here is quite interesting. You know what? I got to admit this. I was with you that Lacey Evans was a lost cause. But I actually thought in the Royal Rumble, and they haven't done anything with it, but I actually thought for, like, one brief second, her, like, salute me heel thing was moderately entertaining. I actually thought they could have gone somewhere with that. They seemed to just have dropped the ball on it with her. I mean, the stuff that you're talking about now is just like, you know, I think I tend to think about life like the stock market, if that makes sense, right? And like when everyone is talking about something and when everyone thinks something is the way things are going to go, it tends to swing the other a direction, right? Like in 2021, you had random people on Reddit and people on their couch that thought they could quit their jobs to become a stock trader. And in 2022, right, those people lost every single dollar they had, right? I think that politics, right, tends to swing the same way. In 2021, you know, you could get canceled for a tweet that you made in 2011, and by the end of the year, abortion was banned by the Supreme Court, right? Things just tend to swing so extreme from one direction to the other because most people have completely lost their ability to analyze, to take a set of facts, ignore what the general public is saying about it, and make their own decision. People have just lost that ability. And I think...
Well, I think you're right. I do want to correct one thing you said. The Supreme Court did not ban abortion. The Supreme Court said it's not our business to determine that you have to have abortion. It's individual states' rights to decide for themselves. They didn't say abortion is banned. They said we're not going to comment on it. We are no longer going to say we are upholding Roe v. Wade and saying every state has to have it. You decide. But anyway, that's political. Yeah, you're right. Listen, Lacey Evans, I know a lot of people say, oh, she's terrible. I don't think she's terrible. She's actually a pretty good athlete. I just think she has this weird – there are some people – and, you know, for sake of it being a PG show, I won't say what they're called, but they're called a something magnet. And she seems to be one of them. People do not like her. I think they find everything fault in everything she says, everything she does, every move she makes in the ring. I've had people criticize, oh, that her finishing maneuver is terrible, and she's slow, and she's this. And these are the same people who tell me, oh, didn't Lita look fantastic this week? No, Lita didn't look fantastic this week. Okay? She looked slow. And she was full of ring rust. Yeah, she looked fantastic physically for a woman her age. But as far as in ring, how did she look? No, she did not look good. She didn't look better than Lacey Evans. So, again, we're living in an age where, like, a guy like Brian Kendrick, he learned the hard way. Several other wrestlers learned the hard way. If you ever did something stupid in your life when you're in high school and you're 40 now, you're screwed because of the internet. And once you reach that certain thing, I don't know if there's any coming back from it. I don't know. I mean, I wish Lacey Evans the best. They could use her in the women's division, but I don't know, man. I just don't know. Anyway, speaking of people who maybe wore out their welcome, there's starting to be some rumors that CM Punk might be trying to eke his way back into AEW. All of a sudden, there are people like Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks saying, hey, you know, things happen, but, you know, you get over them, and it's not the end of the world. And it sounds like they're trying to romance him possibly back. In the meantime, Roman Reigns is actually commented on CM Punk and minced no words, saying I don't like him, but if they hire him, I certainly will work with him because my job is to create good content and have a good match, and I don't have to personally like somebody to do that, but in my opinion, he needs somebody to slap him around a few times for real to get the chip off his shoulder. Now, I think that's already happened in the UFC. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he was slapped around more than once in the UFC, and that should have removed the chip from his shoulder because, in no offense, but I think I could have done better in the cage than he did. I don't think there's ever going to be a chip off Phil Brooks' shoulder. Now, Britt Baker has come out and basically said, look, that scrum was depressing, it was horrible, and it was embarrassing. And if I just got on a TV show like this interview and said to you, this is what's wrong with AEW. This is what's wrong with the way I'm being booked. This is what's wrong with the way other people are being booked. If I just concentrated on the negative all the time and it was all about me, 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 all I'm doing is taking up your time, disrespecting your show, talking about me, 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 and all the horrible things and how it affects just me. And I think that's very self-serving and selfish. She doesn't sound like she wants CM Punk back. Chris Jericho called him a cancer, said he doesn't want him anywhere near AEW. Seth Rollins told him to stay the hell away. So at some point, you have to say to yourself, is the draw that he possibly could get, which I think has been minimized. I mean, everybody's like, we want CM Punk back, and then he came back. You know, coming back again isn't going to get that same big, oh, my God, he's back, I don't think. And I think he's lost a lot of his supporters. So I don't know if it's worth it, Mike. What's your thoughts on either AEW or WWE possibly bringing in CM Punk again?
First things first, I think that, yeah, we question some of the stuff that's happened since Vince has gotten back and all that stuff. But I think on this issue, both Vince and Triple H are of one mind, and they're not going to want CM Punk. I mean, we know what he's done with Triple H, you know, or the lack of the things he's done with Triple H, right? And so, and Triple H tends to hold grudges, right? I mean, there's a fight about Cody Rhodes.
Well, I don't know, Mike.
We're
going to find out whether he holds a grudge. Let's see if Cody Rhodes wins. If Cody Rhodes wins, I guess Triple H doesn't hold a grudge because, I mean, wasn't Cody destroying the throne and mocking Triple H's entrance in AEW, and now all of a sudden he's main eventing WrestleMania? So I don't know how much of a grudge he holds, but if I'm Tony Khan, I stay far away from this. If I'm Vince and I stay far, Hunter, whatever, I stay far, far away from this. I just don't think, caller, it's worth it anymore. Maybe at one time it was. I could see why Tony Khan did it the first time. It worked for a short period of time. It backfired. I don't see this working out another time.
Yeah, the CM Punk thing is kind of, I don't want to say there's no coming back from something. You can always come back from something. It's not like he did some, like, horrendous, like, you know, rant on a million different races and stuff like that. I think the problem is just, like, Punk always had this balance between, like, he pushes against the authority, or he's just, and I know it's a PG show, an a-hole, right? Like, essentially, for lack of a better term, right? And I think with that did is it pushed – it's going to be hard to kind of look at this guy again and not be like, well, he's just kind of a jerk. So, again, I think if you bring him back as a heel, it's very interesting. I think the problem is just, like, there seems to be a lot of just, like, legitimate dislike towards the guy. Again, I don't know, like, I think it would be better for AEW. Like, there's no doubt that AEW has like, relied on his star power a bit, a little more than I think I realized. I don't really know what the right answer to this is. Time tends to heal all wounds, but, like, he certainly did damage to himself. Like, I'm no longer clamoring to see him back. I think it would feel more like a nostalgia thing now if he came back, where it might be interesting for a few months and then I would lose interest. But, like, you could convince me he could come back as, like, a big heel, but I'm not a fan of this. I'm not, like, a massive fan of, like, the, is this real? Is this fake? That feels like a super 1999 thing. Like, we're all on the internet now. We all know the facts, and we don't need that. Like, I'm tuning into these shows because I kind of want to zone out from those facts that I know and have them convince me they're actually going to fight each other. And I just feel like any CM Punk comeback now will inevitably just be this, like, cringe references to the internet and backstage. It just feels too convoluted now. Again, he could come back. It could work, but I'm not.
He could, but, you know, I think here's the problem. I think if he said 100 million things bad about races and sexuality and everything, he would be easier to come back than to backstab your company, because then the company says, well, what company would hire him when in a very important situation he used it for his own personal benefit and basically downgraded the company he works for? That's a cardinal sin. Okay, that is an absolute cardinal sin, because then they say, not only are you not a team player, you actively use the time we give you to disparage our brand. And we're not paying you to disparage our brand. I don't, you know, if I'm a businessman, I don't hire a guy. If I'm Coca-Cola, I don't hire a guy to be a spokesman for Coca-Cola that says Coca-Cola is going to poison you. Coca-Cola is terrible for you. I don't even really drink it. I drink water, and everybody in Coca-Cola is just out to get greedy bastards out to cause cancer. And, well, why would you hire that guy? I'd sooner hire a guy who said everybody on the left or everybody on the right's crazy, or I don't like this group of people, or I don't like that group of people, because it's isolating less people. Punk is one of these guys who I've always felt this way. Maybe I'm wrong. I think CM Punk is a very, very conniving person. I think CM Punk did not want to lose the belt to MJF, and he knew he was going to. I think CM Punk damn well sure knew he was going to be fired. He damn well sure knew they were going to give him the whole entire length of his contract. He didn't want to do it anymore, and he just said, I'm going to use this scrum, and I'm going to get myself fired. And then I'm going to go on the pity party of, oh, poor me, and the fans who like me will be behind me. And I'll say, well, I want all of my contract fulfilled, and I'll get money for sitting home with AJ Lee, which sounds pretty good to me. But he's too smart of a guy to know his actions were not going to go unpunished. So I think he had this planned. I'm pretty sure he had this planned. So I don't even know if he wants to come back to wrestling. He's looked kind of, you know, I thought MJF was very funny in one thing he said, when he said, you know, you say you're straight-laced and everything, you look like you're on crack. And I said to myself, Jesus, he does. He's only in his 40s. He's solid gray. He's starting to look very frail. He's not looking well. He looks older than he is by a lot. And I'm just like, whoa, that was a kind of a good line, because that cut. And I don't know if you want a guy like CM Punk, you know, going over guys who look very virile and healthy and strong. And speaking of virile, healthy, and strong, the AEW has literally said, we have nothing for Miro. That's what they said. Creative has nothing for you. Now, you know I hate that phrase. You know what I said about that. When creative says they have nothing for you, it's a code word for one of two things. It's either we have terrible writers, or we don't even really want you here. And here's why I say that. If you're a writer, there's not one single person. Name me a person. I don't care who it is. I don't even care if it's CM Punk. If I'm a writer for a wrestling federation and you tell me to write something for them, I'll damn sure write something for them. You're going to tell me all the creative going around scratching their head saying, can't think of a thing. Miro, huh? That's a puzzler. I don't know what to do with him. I don't believe that. So, and if I do believe that, then you need to get rid of your writers, because they're idiots. More like, we have tried him out. We don't think there's anything much that he'll be able to contribute. We're not telling our writers to write for him. We're sort of just letting him sit out his contract. That's the way I feel when they say creative has nothing for you. So Todd, doesn't look good for Miro. Well, we may see a return to the WWE of Rusev.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I think when Miro would Rusev, a.k.a. also Miro, when he was in the WWE, they were using him all the time. They were,
but I mean, then they sabotaged it. They almost punished him for getting over. You know, the WWE did that a lot. They're like, well, we want this guy over. And then they do something accidentally, like Rusev Day. They thought that was going to get like four, yup. They had the guy there saying, we declare in Bulgaria today is Rusev Day. And they thought everybody was going to go, it's kind of funny, and then forget about it. Instead, it caught on. And people were like, oh, we like the Rusev Day thing. That's awesome. And everybody started Rusev Day. And the WWE was almost like, oh, yeah? Well, we didn't want that to happen. So crush that. Destroy everything you like about it. I don't understand why they did it, but that's what it seemed like. And Mike, I don't know. I mean, if Rusev comes back, maybe if there is new creative or whatever going on, something will happen. You know, Lana will end up back there. Maybe it is the right time for him. I don't think he thought the grass was going to be this brown over in AEW. You know, he jumped over there thinking, I'm going to be a big fish in a small pond, and he ended up being, you know, sitting at catering, twiddling his thumbs.
Right, and that's the thing. Think about it this way. Ask yourself why Lana hasn't signed with AEW. Right?
Yeah.
If they have nothing for Miro, what would they have for Lana? Right? I mean,
think about it.
I mean, and look, Miro, he didn't really burn his bridges with the WWE. He said some things, but they may be willing to overlook some of that stuff, you know. And basically, what did Lana say? Lana said there's probably going to be a return of Rusev Day. Basically, is what she said, right?
Not only that, Mike, but Lana has said nothing but good things about Vince McMahon. When Vince McMahon was going through this whole, he paid money for, you know, all these sexual harassment things and every good-looking woman he was hitting on, Lana said, I never had any experience like that. He was always like a father figure to me. He was always pleasant and wonderful. He always made me laugh and cheered me up and gave me something to do. And I have a very good relationship with Vince McMahon. And I don't see that side of him at all. So now she could be lying through her teeth, but whether she's lying through her teeth or not, that's the kind of rhetoric they like to hear. And she's kept herself on the good end of WWE, maybe figuring this could happen to her husband. And I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back. The Miro thing in AEW just did not work. And the reason it didn't work is, unfortunately for a guy like Miro, it's not his wrestling skill that really got him over. It was his personal charisma when it came to, like, sort of comedic timing or being able to have some sympathy for a character who's going through hard times or whatever it happened to be. He was very good at portraying that type of character. And they didn't give him that in AEW, so he didn't get over it all. I think a Rusev return caller might actually be something good for the WWE.
Yeah, I mean, I think this Rusev thing is the beginning of probably a slow exodus back to WWE. I think, you know, the weird thing, and this is, you know, I think this, people are saying this so much that it's almost become like cringe to say, but I do actually believe Vince is slowly working his way back into creative. Like, no matter what people say, that almost Brock Lesnar match is not like that Triple H is not booking that, right? Like, and so I think it all just comes down to if Triple H is really remaining in creative control, without a shadow of a doubt, you're going to see a mass exodus from AEW back to WWE. I mean, the AEW is doing a really, really bad job booking some of their talent. They signed just too many people. They have a 2-hour, and they did a bad job with Rampage. So because Rampage is not like a real show that anyone watches, they have 2 hours a week to book way too much talent, and they book basically the same guys. So without a doubt, people are going to go back to WWE. I think the only question mark in my mind is like, is Vince kind of slowly moving his way back into creative control, which should surprise no one, right? Like, and he'd be smart to not make it super public. So whether it's Rusev, whoever it is, I mean, like, if I'm Keith Lee, if I'm Rusev, if I'm Aleister Black, I'm trying to get back to WWE because there's a lot of spots available for them. There's 5 hours of real television time to fill and not enough people to fill it. And, again, if Triple H is in charge, everything that made me leave WWE is everything that would bring me back to WWE. So it just comes down to that. And when it comes to the Lana stuff, I think AEW is kind of smart to not sign Lana. I think Lana is very much like she is a WWE product. And I think, like, even Paige in AEW just feels like a WWE product kind of thing. And Lana would feel way, way worse than Paige is, who at least has somewhat of crossover appeal between the two. So,
yeah, but I think the point is that if they have nothing for Rusev, you'd think bringing in his wife, even if she didn't wrestle, even if she just walked him to ringside, would be a plus. And the fact they wouldn't or didn't seems to indicate we don't really see a future for you. So that's interesting. And you're right about the Vince McMahon thing. Look, nobody in their right mind who knows Vince McMahon and the way he operates thinks for one tiny second that he's not slowly worming his way back into some, at least some, of creative. Because he obviously is. And yeah, listen, I think that a guy like Rusev could make a splash back in the WWE and could make a difference. And you're right. Hey, listen, here's the real joke. You said they have a big roster. How about this? 160 people signed to AEW. Now, yes, there are a few referees and a few managers and things like that, so you can take 10 or 15 off. It doesn't matter. It's over 100. That's over 100 people. And you've got 3 hours of TV time. That's staggering. And at some point, and we all warned about this, by the way. We all said, he just got too many people on the roster. And there's going to be people just sitting around with their finger up their butt going, what about me? Look at Aleister Black. Aleister Black's like, I'm going to go over there and be a big deal. Yeah, you were a really big deal. Rusev, I'm going to go over there and be, you know, main eventer. Yeah, that really worked out. And people are beginning to realize it was more our character than our wrestling. Now, Aleister Black's character, I'll be honest with you, I never liked. And I'll tell you why. I loved his wrestling. I never liked his character because I thought his character relied too much on a dark, sinister, you should be slightly afraid of him, and he's 5'8", and he's 200 pounds. And I just don't see a guy like Drew McIntyre saying, oh, Aleister Black. You know, The Undertaker came out, he was a huge, monstrous guy, and you're like, yeah, well, okay. I could see people being a little bit intimidated. Kane, same way. I could see people being intimidated. Brock Lesnar's not 7 foot tall, but he's legit. So, yeah, that guy will break me in half. Not Aleister Black. I think Aleister Black's gimmick should have been refined a little bit. And we all know what the Aleister stands for, Aleister Crowley in the Black. You know, he was supposed to be a Satanist. They didn't want to come right out and say he was supposed to be a Satanist, but of course he was. And you already got Bray Wyatt doing a weird gimmickly thing like that. If you bring him back, just bring him back. You want to call him Aleister Black, that's fine. Lose the coffin thing. Lose the dark, sinister stuff. I know he's a creative guy too. I've listened to him on interviews saying, oh, I have a lot of creative ideas. Yeah, and they all involve you being a terrifying character who everybody's afraid of, and it doesn't make sense because you're not big enough for that character. So let's just stick with I'm a kickboxer and I'm a legit tough guy, and let's live with that, and not try to be an intimidating guy by your presence, because your presence itself is not intimidating. That was always the problem with Aleister Black. It's less so in AEW because they got a lot of smaller guys. But we'll see what happens. But I think the caller is right. I think there's going to be a mass exodus. And the real ironic thing, Mike, is that Tony Khan was voted Booker of the Year after literally having a roster of 160 people and maybe only booking a handful of them. He gets Booker of the Year award. I mean, that's a joke.
Yeah, just remember this. At one point, Vince was signing everybody under the sun, right? Right?
Yep.
I mean, everybody. He was signing everybody, and he got his roster up to over 100 people, if I'm remembering correctly. And then, well, we saw this same thing happen with Vince. He didn't have enough time, even with the 2 hours of SmackDown and the 3 hours of Raw and you know, main event and all this other stuff that he had, he didn't have enough time for over 100 people. Now, when he decided, okay, I'm going to start cutting people now, we can argue about him making those cuts, what cuts that were made, you know. But when he started cutting people, it somewhat got better because he was paring down his roster. He pared it down just enough to where he now has enough time for the people he has. In fact, he may have too much time for people, and he maybe needs more people now. You know, so.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. He pared down his roster, and he did have a bloated roster. But the difference between him and Tony Khan, I think, caller, is that Tony Khan sort of gave the impression, I'm using you. You're going to be a big deal in my company. And Vince was sort of like, I'm signing you so nobody else does. So if you sit home and twiddle your thumbs, you're still getting a paycheck, my man. And I think they were fully aware. I don't think any Vince McMahon came to somebody and said, I'm going to make you a big star in my federation. He sort of said, I'm sort of paying you not to go somewhere else. And they were wise to that. And if they took that money knowing I'm not really going to be used, but hey, if they want me to sit home and pay me, I'll do it. That's a little different than Tony Khan promising you the moon and then relegating you to catering.
Well, I mean, I think if you take a look at this, right, like this is where Tony Khan really went wrong. Because I think Dynamite, for the record, is still a good show. It's still a valuable product. It's not as good as it was for a bit. But where Tony Khan went wrong here is that what AEW was it was a niche product that was a reaction to the fact that WWE had gone so far in the direction of whatever you want to call it, sports entertainment, that and was not listening to fans, that there was a section of the fans that were clamoring. And what you're seeing is exactly pretty much a million people, right? Like, because they'd never go over a million, right? But there was about a right. million people that were clamoring for more legitimate wrestling. Where Tony Khan went super wrong and where I think he was incredibly foolish is there's enough fans like that to sustain probably 2 hours a week, and I'd say they could probably go even up to 6 pay-per-views a year, but I think maybe 4 to 5 is the right number for them. Where he went super wrong was he signed all these people because he legitimately thought that those same fans needed like Ring of Honor. But the problem is AEW is supposed to be like Ring of Honor in some way, right? And so when you add in Ring of Honor, which is a watered-down version of what was already supposed to be Ring of Honor, no one's going to care. So now you have all these guys who you signed who were supposed to, like, run Ring of Honor. Like, who? Like Claudio Castagnoli is in a terrible spot because no one cares about Ring of Honor. No one watches it. And now you have 20 belts floating around a promotion that should have 2 or 3. Everything is convoluted. Yes. Nothing makes sense. Rampage is a show that no one watches. And so you have a product that is meant to be 2 hours a week that you've watered down to 6 hours a week, and it's hurt a bunch of guys that you brought in.
Look, there's no question about that. But I also think that Tony Khan was a little bit selfish, and I think what he did is he realized I want those ratings. So he kept saying, I got another special announcement this week. This was how he got ratings every week. Another great superstar has been signed. Bloviate and overpromise. The greatest free agent in the history of professional wrestling I have just signed. And it's Christian Cage. There's nothing wrong with Christian. He's not the greatest free agent in the history of professional wrestling. Fans were expecting somebody really big, and they're like, oh, it's Christian. Okay, well, he's cool, but... And then they began to get wise to Tony Khan. And, oh, I know, every week is a special announcement. But these guys, I think, felt special. They were like, oh, man, he's giving me a special announcement, and he's saying I'm going to be on the show this week, and it's a big deal. And then they were let down, and they were kind of like, well, I kind of just used you to bluff fans into tuning in to seeing who the next signee is. And before you know it, he's got 160 people on his roster, and 100 of them ain't being you. And that's a problem. That's a big problem. People are getting disgruntled. Now, the guy who's not disgruntled is Chris Jericho, who cracked me up by saying, I have no interest in coming back to the WWE. Well, Chris, let's be honest. You're 50-something years old, and I don't think the WWE has any real interest in bringing you back as an in-ring performer, at least not a full-time in-ring performer. If they were going to bring you back, I think it would be for a match here or there and maybe to do announcing or something else, and I ain't going to pay you that kind of money to do it. So if you want to continue at 50-something years old to go do your stuff in AEW, go ahead. But don't bite the hand that feeds you either, because I remember when, you know, ECW threw you the hell out. I was there the night Lionheart debuted, and he wasn't happy. And neither was Paul Heyman or some of the other people, and he just wasn't cutting it. And remember, same thing happened with WCW, right? They threw you out. And, well, of course, Kevin Nash didn't like him, said he would never draw any money, which was wrong. But at the bottom line is there are a couple of federations didn't want you, and WWE made you. Absolutely made you. So, you know, I've praised Chris Jericho because on this show many times because, A, he's extraordinarily fan-friendly. I'll give him that. I've met many, many, many wrestlers in my time. Some of them are nice to fans. Some of them are very, you know, pleasant to talk to. I don't think I've seen anyone go out of their way as much as Chris Jericho. So I've always praised him for that. And he's great at reinventing himself and coming up with catchphrases and things for T-shirts. He's great at it. But, you know, you can't be bitter in your old age either and say, oh, I'm never going back there. Yeah, if Vince McMahon put another zero on the contract that Tony Khan has with you, your ass would be back in those tights so quick that people's heads would spin. So let's not lie to people. You don't have any loyalty to AEW, and you don't think anything special is going on there because nothing special is going on. If something special was going on, as the caller correctly pointed out, you'd have more than a million people watching. It is a niche product. So is NXT a niche product? NXT is not for everybody. ECW was a niche product. Not everybody wants to see somebody jump off a scaffold through a fire table onto a glass that's, you know, with nails in it. Some people do. But it was never going to be a mainstream product. That's what we keep trying to drum into fans' heads here. WWE clearly wants to be a mainstream product. So they don't want to cater to a niche audience. They want to cater to people who are 8 years old and 88 years old and everybody in between. AEW doesn't want to do that. They're not even trying to do that. NXT is not trying to do that. So that's where the difference is. And if NXT tried to be WWE tomorrow, it's not going to work. And if AEW tries to be WWE, it's not going to work. The caller is right. It's a niche thing. And if Tony Khan accepted it was a niche thing and said, look, we're happy with our million one. We're presenting an alternative to a mainstream product. If the difference between going to see Halloween, if you're a horror fan, and picking up one of those extraordinarily gory underground type movies on the internet, if you're a horror fan. Most horror fans who just like, I like Freddy Krueger, is not going to want to see some serial killer fake documentary where people are being tortured and murdered, but there are a niche group of horror fans who like to watch extraordinarily violent, bloody, gory, disturbing things. That's a niche audience. But the world goes to see Halloween. And yes, some of the hardcore horror fans say it wasn't bloody enough, it wasn't violent enough, it didn't have enough kills, it was this. But they'll still go see it because it's a horror film. But the reverse isn't true. The casual horror film fan isn't going to go watch those, you know, fake snuff films. I think that's a pretty good analogy, Cole.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's like when I take a look at these, like, organizations here, I feel like you can apply – the way that the world thinks of some of this stuff, right? AEW had its, like, that run where, like, if you compare it to basketball or something, like LeBron or whatever, in their first 4 to 5 years, right, or 3 years, they have their grace period. The greatest thing that ever happened. I can't believe a 19-year-old's doing this. Then around year 4 to 5, oh, I can't believe they're not winning. Then eventually people generally just settle into what someone is and it figures it out. I think with AEW, to be positive with them, it is without a doubt a massive positive for this like industry to have a second place in the United States that people can go and make money. It's without a doubt a positive for there to be competition between two companies, and it gives us a lot to talk about, right? And so I think what we're going to see going forward, hopefully, is that eventually AEW will kind of settle into what they are. I think Ring of Honor is going to fall apart. I think Rampage, they either have to figure out a way to make that SmackDown or get rid of it. And I think eventually AEW has something with Dynamite. I think it's with most cable shows having a hard, you know, like it's a good show for a cable company to have. And I think it'll be healthy in the long run, and it'll be kind of cool to see, like, you know, that early 1992 WCW type vibe where, like, Jake Roberts would randomly pop up or Ricky the Dragon Steamboat would pop up and you'd see these guys flip back and forth. And I'm hoping it just becomes the norm again, and it's not like, oh, this isn't big enough for two companies, because I think it absolutely is big enough for two companies, because I think
in many ways, they cater to different audiences, and I like watching AEW for different reasons than I like watching WWE, but I like them both. And so I just think...
Yeah, no, you're right, and they are going to do that. I mean, listen, you're absolutely right. Just like my analogy, there are people who want to go see a mainstream horror film because they know it'll be moderately scary, maybe a little gory, but it's not going to go over the top. And then there are people who go fishing for these direct-to-DVD gore fests. Here's the thing. If you want to be the WWE, and I think Tony Khan does, see, that's my problem. If Tony Khan just said, we're never trying to be WWE, we're very happy just bringing you an alternative, then you got to cut your payroll because you can't continue to put 160 people on your payroll. Do you know how much money that is? How much money are you making? You got 160 people on your payroll and you're just you're a niche group? I don't think so. You've got more people on your payroll than WWE, and they're not a niche organization. So there's where the problem is. And instead of just saying, well, we're going to buy more organizations so we can put those people in place, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. You got to decide what you want to be. I agree with you. I like AEW, but I like AEW for what they are. And I think Tony Khan wants to be the WWE, and if he doesn't want to be the WWE, then he's got to cut his roster. He's got to start thinking about where do we make money. And like you were saying, maybe four pay-per-views a year, maybe 2 to 3 hours of television time is fine, but you got to narrow it down to maybe 40 to 60 people on your roster that's constant so you can promote them on a regular basis. But if you want to be the WWE, you got to appeal to a wider group, which means you're going to have to present a different style of wrestling, a more character-based style of wrestling, a more entertainment style of wrestling that Tony Khan so far, Mike, has been unwilling to do. So I think the growth is over. I think what we're seeing here is exactly what he's going to draw in the next couple of years.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. We talk about he's develop some talent and all that stuff. And here's the deal. One of the big signings at one point was Sting. Well, Sting's about ready to retire. So once Sting retires, then what? Right? So
Sting, Jericho.
So, and look, Jericho, yeah. But here's the thing. The Khans are in the NFL, right? They own the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, at the beginning of the season, during the preseason, they bring in not only draft picks, but they bring in over 100 players, right, to figure out who's the best players to fit their team, right? But once they make that decision, they cut it down. The rosters that hit the field are like 53, 54, 55-man rosters, but they end up having like 60, 65 people, including the practice squad. That's their personnel for their football team, right? So
yeah.
Even that, he should take his own advice. Take what they do with their football team and apply it to the wrestling company, right?
I agree with you. What did ECW do? They had a very limited roster, and they'd bring in guys once in a while for a little run, a limited run, but that was it, and then they'd be gone. Tony Khan's roster is too bloated. He wants to be a major federation, and he's not. Kohler got it right. He's a niche group. He's always going to be that way. And until he cuts his roster and streamlines his focus on making some stars and getting some notoriety for them, he's just going to be a WWE wannabe, and that's not going to help. You know, Matt Hardy's already saying he's got to go to more entertainment-style wrestling. Well, he does if he wants to be the WWE, Matt. But I don't think he wants to be the WWE. I think he thought there were more purist wrestling fans than there were. I think he thought more wrestling fans were into the actual physical stuff than the acting and the skits, and I think the Bloodline proved that wrong. So, we'll see what happens. This is a really good show, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.